Hi there. This is Teresa Allen, and we are conducting a meeting of the Pacifica National Board Archives Subcommittee, or what you might call a task force. And on the call we have Teresa Allen, Carolyn Burden, Brian DeShazer, and Sherna Gluck. Is there anyone else on the call?
Lamont may be a few minutes late. He has class.
Okay.
And I think Carolyn had mentioned to me that she might be late.
Carolyn Burden?
Mm-hmm.
She's on.
Oh,
she
is.
Okay, great.
She's ahead of you.
Fantastic.
All right.
Good, yes.
Welcome, everyone. I assume that you've seen the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
There are 5 items on the agenda. And I'll tell you what the agenda is. It's approving the agenda, approving the minutes, reporting from the archives staff, reports the archives fundraiser in December, and the balance between services and preservation and dissemination. Is there any other additions to the agenda, or is there any problem with any items on the agenda?
Should we also discuss the report to the LSB?
That would be fine. Why don't we put that right after reports from the archive staff?
Okay.
So we'll make that item number 4 and make archives fundraiser 5 and balance between services and preservation 6.
And so is it possible that we don't need to discuss it? I assume everyone has seen it.
Addie.
Hi, Addie.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm sorry. I was a little caught in traffic, but not bad.
No problem. The meeting has started.
Okay.
I agree. I don't know who said that we might not have to
Bonnie's
discuss
coming.
The report, but once we hear the report from the staff...
Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hey, I'm here.
The meeting has started. On the call are Teresa Allen, Carolyn Burden, Brian DeShazer, Sherna Gluck, Eddie Gibbons, and Bonnie.
Okay. And could we also add that lingering item about the representation from the other LSBs?
Say that again?
Representation of the other LSBs.
Okay, when do you want to put that on the agenda?
Maybe that as part of the report to the LSB, because it kind of ties in.
All right. We'll discuss that item when we discuss the task force report to the PNB.
Great.
Okay.
Right. And Teresa, this is Brian. I think I wrote earlier today that I wanted to look at number 5 fairly first, because I know Sherna and Addie needed to leave early.
Okay.
All right. And I also, but I would like to wait until Lamont gets on.
I want to be sure to get it done before Addie leaves. So
well, I thought she's leaving at 7.
She is.
Addie, are you leaving at 7?
Mm-hmm.
So you're leaving in about 40 minutes?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. Well, I think let's just try to move on. And if we have not gotten to the archives fundraiser within the next 20 minutes, then we'll... we'll consider that. How about that?
Teresa, to clarify, it's I don't think that's what Brian's talking about, although Addie should be there for that, too. I think it's the item 5, the balance between service and preservation, and the talking paper that I drafted.
Okay. Brian, was that what you would...
I wanted to get to that first, so that Addie and Sherna could talk about it, because I know both of them had to leave early.
All right, so let me review this agenda. Approving the agenda, approving the minutes, report from the archive staff, the task force report to the PNB, archives fundraiser, and the balance between services and preservation. Mm-hmm. So you want to take what is now number 6, the balance between services and preservation, and you want to move that up?
Can we make it a time certain?
Well, why don't we just say, why don't we just put that item number 3 then?
Okay.
All right. We're going to make that item,
I would like Lamont to be on the call by then, and he is coming out of class, so he needs to be.
Let's make that a time certain. Do you want to say in the next, whatever happens at 20 minutes to, if we're not at that, we'll go to that item?
great. That's good for me. Is that
okay?
Okay.
Okay.
For Addie?
Mm-hmm.
Who is this? Who's that that's speaking? Is that Sherna?
That was me. I'm sorry, Sherna.
Sherna. Okay. Why don't you be the reminder? Remind me of that at 20 minutes to. If we're not at that, call that to my attention. We'll go to it. All right.
Okay. Great. Mm-hmm.
All right. Time certain then. 20 minutes to the hour. Is there anyone that wants to take minutes?
I can't even do it because I am not hearing at all out of my left ear, and so I have to, and I'm totally right-handed, so I can't both be on the phone and write.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. I will try to take the minutes as chair. If someone could please assist me, Sapita and I have done this before, worked together on this, but
mm-hmm.
since she's not on the phone, if someone, let's say Bonnie, if you don't mind, if I can create the minutes and if there's something that needs to be added or corrected, would you help me with that? Hello?
Hello?
Is Bonnie not on? Maybe Bonnie is temporarily walked away from the phone. How about, does anyone else volunteer for this task? Carolyn, are you there?
Oh, my goodness.
Who is on this call? Brian?
I'm still here.
Okay. Teresa's on the phone. Brian's on the phone.
Sherna.
Addie.
Addie's on?
Uh-huh. What happened to everyone else?
Bonnie? And Carolyn. Okay, Bonnie and Carolyn are off. I'm assuming that they're trying to dial back in. You know, there is a situation where this phone number from this company, if there were more than 10 people on the line, were like knocking people off and giving them difficulties. I don't know whether we want to try the... I tell you what. I'm afraid to try the other number for fear that... does anyone have Bonnie's number and Carolyn's number?
I'm back.
Okay.
Oh.
Is that Bonnie?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm in my office and people are coming and going, so...
All right. Okay.
I'm sort of doing duty here. I'm sorry I was gone for a minute.
All right. Well, if you do that again, tell us, okay, because we were worried.
Okay.
Can you possibly try to, since I'm going to take the minutes as well as chair, can you kind of check my work? Can I get back with you later and just kind of check my version of the minutes with you? Or do you have something that you're going to be up and down in and
out? I'm going to kind of be up and down here.
All right, well, okay, everybody.
Is there anybody
else
that can do it, or am I it?
I tell you what, Brian?
Yes.
Brian, I'm going to call
yes.
you tomorrow, and I'm going to check my version of the minutes with yours, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Is there anyone that has a problem with the agenda that we're doing right now? Okay, hearing no problems, we're going to go with this agenda. How about approving the minutes? Sherna sent everybody a copy of the minutes.
Sapita must have.
I'm sorry, Sapita did. Sapita sent everyone a copy of the minutes. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay.
Move to accept the minutes.
Okay. Do we have any objections to the minutes as approved? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. All right. Reports of the archive staff. Brian?
Okay. Well, let's see. Last time we talked, it was right before the board meeting that was going to Houston, and then the board meeting was canceled. So since then, Addie and I have worked to, you know, complete the grants, the Recruiting Academy second phase.
Lamont Yakey.
Hi, Lamont.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Hi.
How are you? Good, thank you.
Carolyn, I'm back.
Carolyn, were you kicked off? What happened?
Yes, I was. I muted myself, and when I tried to get back on, I couldn't get back on with my mute. Now, maybe it's my cell phone. Because I used a mute a,
all right, well,
know,
let's just try not to have to do that again.
I will not do that again.
Okay. All right.
<Go ahead.
laughs> All right.
And I'm just joining you. This is Lamont. I'm sorry for the interruption.
We have approved the agenda
I'm
and the minutes. We're hearing Brian's report. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay. So since the last time we talked, you know, we did complete a major phase in the grant process of both the Recording Academy, which is now the Grammy Foundation, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Continuing work with the Ford Foundation, and we just recently completed a grant proposal for the Recording Academy or the Grammy Foundation for continued preservation and outsourcing of specific materials. And so, Addie, do you want to jump in on any of those before I do a fundraiser update and board report?
What the materials are, Brian? This is Sherna. I mean, not all of them, but what are the nature of the materials?
Which materials? The ones that were preserved through the Recording Academy and the NEA?
And this Grammy thing.
The Grammy Foundation was part of the NEA. It was the match to the National Endowment for the Arts.
Okay.
So it included interviews with cinema personalities, Alfred Hitchcock, Jean Renoir, Boris Karloff. It also included Art is Radio. We include a Bob Fass material. There was a John Lennon documentary, mostly focusing on music and music-related materials. That was part of the proposal.
There was Lillian Hellman. I just did Anais Nin. I just did Joan Didion. I just did Dori Previn. I just did... What else?
I'm sorry, but that's fine. That's the kind of
okay.
thing I want to
Okay. Like that. So we've got, it includes like lectures. Lenny Bruce.
The George Carlin case, Allen Ginsberg, Kenneth Rexroth, poetry, Adrian Rich, poetry.
Oh, T.H. Lawrence's friend.
right. Alice B. Toklas, both Alice B. Toklas and Alice B. Toklas's best friend. So we had a good cross-section, but it was focusing on mainly arts, literature, poetry, music and music-related materials. We did sort of sneak in the political aspect of some of those people, like I think Angela Davis interviewing Esther Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Ford Foundation and some of the other activities that we've been doing, we have gotten a broader scope of the humanities materials, mainly in how we do premiums development for the stations and listener responses. I think one of the things that I thought of was the entire Edward Said materials, which is over five CDs, which is over six speeches covering 30 years. When Edward Said passed away, we compiled those and digitized them and made them available for the stations. And we've done that with June Jordan. And so that had a lot to do with June Jordan at protest marches. And we recently are developing some premiums that have to do with the recent peace marches, Cindy Sheehan, and a Howard event, Voices for the People's History reading. That was just recorded on last Wednesday.
And then we have all the Vietnam era stuff that's just going up on the University of California Berkeley website.
Right, and that's 25 recordings covering everything from Dr. Spock speaking against the war to actuality of a protest or a demonstration, as well as some poetry. I think there is some poetry about Vietnam in that package.
So, Brian, how many new premium items are you saying that have come from this?
Now, from the Restoration Project, we really haven't done, I think we did a 10-CD set of poetry and literature. I think that they would have gotten, this was in the last summer fund drive, but I don't think any of the stations actually played it. It's more of an archives thing that we can say this package represents the poetry of a certain era, the Beat Poets, and some of the stations just didn't choose that to pitch. This fund drive coming up, the People's History reading is really important. We got, you know, permission from Howard and the producer for the archives to be the only people that record it. So we just to all the stations for a premium. And that's with Danny Glover and Marissa Tomei and Josh Brolin, and a bunch of other people reading, you know, the history of the voices, you know, Howard Zinn book. So that's exciting, as well as some of the events that we've been to, Peace March in Washington, on September 23rd, I think it was. And then we're also developing some premiums, like the John Lennon, documentary that was done in 1981 about the FBI files. A new book was just written by the producer about, since the Freedom of Information Act, what do the FBI files say about John Lennon? So we've releasing both the book and the documentary as a package premium. And we're getting good responses from all the stations so far in what they're planning to pitch.
Did anybody
I should tell you, this is Sherna, I should just tell you that the Radio Intifada special fund drive program is going to be on the legacy of Edward Said, and one of the things is going to be the six-pack as well as a single one.
Great.
Oh, great. Great,
yay.
Thanks. So we know about it. Great. That was also featured in a magazine, right? A memorial magazine, memorial tribute to Edward Said, and I can't remember the name of the magazine. But thanks, Sherna. It was good to know.
Have you been able? This is Lamont speaking. Have you been able to get anything from the Cindy Sheehan statement?
We have Cindy Sheehan's speech from September 29th. It was either the 23rd or 29th. It was right before she went to Camp Casey. And so we have an hour speech of her, along with Arianna Huffington and Jody Evans of Code Pink. But what's really incredible, it's in the Howard Zinn Voices for the People's Voices for the People's History reading. Marissa Tomei reads to another speech of Cindy Sheehan's, and Howard Zinn. So Zinn speaks about how important Cindy Sheehan is in context of, you know, all the rest of the voices that are being read, Sojourner Truth, etc. So it's really nice that the Archives is going to be able to pitch Marissa Tomei reading Cindy Sheehan, you know, elevating it to the, you know, the Howard Zinn level, as well as being the ones that recorded the real Cindy Sheehan and broadcast it, you know. So it's a good thing to package together. So we're working with the stations on how they can pitch those together and understand that tie.
Well, that's good. That's very good.
Addie, do you want to say anything about the grants? We're just about to meet to do the final reports. And we did, a progress report as part of the grant proposal application for the Grammy Foundation. So we're
and
sort
that's
of
always a good time for us because we can assess things. So we're kind of building the next step of the preservation project. One of the things that we're asking for, of course, we have no idea what we're going to get, but we're asking to get Tim McGovern, who's a really great what we call room builder, you know, who has worked for Pacifica a lot, has worked for Zoetrope and, you know, all those guys. And he's working with Youth Radio now, and we're going to have him come down and look at the way we do our transfer and look at the way we do our auditioning at the archives and, you know, help us do a plan for what kind of room we really need to be able to do it, because that's one of the big critiques we've gotten from our advisors who have come in, is that since the staff listens to the tapes when they're doing the transfer in an open room, they don't really hear the quality. You know, we really, really need to get an actual studio in there. So that's a big next step for us. And then
get a studio
one thing that
where?
At the archives.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a little office that can sort of be adapted, but I think more importantly we'll be getting some professional advice and specs for when we, you know, look at that building campaign and look, you know, externally. But for the most part, you know, getting an expert in to, like, look at what we really need to do and what it's going to take to do
it. Right,
that's
the other thing we're going
to
do, because he's just helped Youth Radio move into a new building. They just bought a building.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
Youth Radio.
And so, you know, he's helping them get everything together.
Who is
in
this
that
person?
Building. Tim McGovern.
Ah, okay.
He
was at the archives a long time ago, and he was a producer at KPFK. He did a lot of the Wounded Knee era stuff.
Yeah. The name is familiar.
Yeah.
Teresa, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Ms.
Sherna?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
It doesn't totally fit, but it does. I mean, now seems like the opportune time. Eddie, can you clarify? You say that you're called Director of Special Projects. But what percent time is that on the that you put in usually when you show it on the grants and all of that?
I'm sorry, it's just not easy question.
Well, I mean, what do you normally show on the grants? Not how much time do you actually put in, but what do you usually show as your position on the grant applications?
I'm usually the coordinator of the Preservation Access Project.
Okay. And at what? At 100%?
No. No. Usually we put me in for some number of days.
Over the course of the year?
Over the course of the grant, the year or the 2 years or whatever.
Okay.
So we kind of look at it and we go, oh, well, Addie will have to probably go down 3 times at 2 days each visit, and then she'll probably have to spend the equivalent of hours talking to, you know, that's how we do it. And so then we come up with some number of days.
Okay.
You know,
Thank you.
We don't do a percent time because it's not a salary. You know, it's just salary has nothing to do with it.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, and yeah, and whatever I do, I give about, how much do I donate, Brian?
One fifth, I think.
One fifth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Okay.
All right. Is there any more? Hello?
Yeah, this is Lamont again. Was that Teresa's answer? Did you say you give about, and then Brian's corrective, a one
no,
fifth?
No, this is Addie saying.
Oh, Addie.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying that the way we do it is for each project, we look at, you know, we make an estimate of how many hours, and then we round that off to days that I'll probably have to spend on the project.
Mm. Okay.
And then we ask for that, and then we put part of that in as in kind.
Okay.
Okay, so it's not like a percent time. It's
right.
Not like we look at it that way at all.
Is that suffice for the grant, though? Is that sufficient for what they need?
Yeah. That's how we come up with it. Yes. They need less than we give them.
Oh, okay.
They need less information than we give them.
Mm.
Okay.
You know, it's like usually you could put in a line that says, like, whatever, expert, you know, expert catalog people, blah, blah number of, dollars.
All right. Good. Thanks.
Okay. The only thing where it gets really tricky in the grants is in the government grants where you're using something that's a percentage of a staff time person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, that gets really complicated. But that's, that's not me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a me thing.
Yeah, that's a Brian thing.
Right.
Where we
right.
figure out, one-tenth of his time or something.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I think, one-tenth, some staff members were one-twelfth, some people were one-eighth.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see.
Thank you.
All right.
Brian, is there any way, I don't know whether you're going from something written when you're giving this report, but do you have anything in writing that especially the first part of your report where you were talking about all of these things that you're digitizing?
Uh-huh.
Do you have that in writing so that we can, if I went to my local station board and as a national board member, I could give a report and say, this is what the National Archives is working on?
We're working on that list.
Right, the list that we said we were going to, was the selections that we were going to take to Philadelphia, which is basically the same list that we brought back. So the list of the first 100 is available on the website. And I think the other lists of Vietnam and Ford protest demonstrations aren't available yet. But, we're doing that now for the
trying to create extra work for you.
Okay.
But when it says in the minutes, Brian's report, if you can cut and paste something for me, then because I would like to be more constantly putting the things that the archives is doing in front of my LSB so they are more informed.
Well, even better, Brian, I think we can tell that. We can tell our committee where they can find the stuff to cut and paste. Can't we?
Well,
right.
Because we've got it right there on the website.
Yeah, I think it would be better if it came from the archive staff as a report to the committee. And
could all of you, for my benefit, introduce yourself? This is Lamont. Sorry,
I
was talking.
That was
just,
Shern.
Just a quick name.
Shern.
Yeah, I know Shern. I could discern Shern and Brian's voice, but the others,
I wanted
shouldn't.
To just, Teresa, kind of piggyback on what you were saying, because it, in fact, relates completely to my concern and what I was trying to raise in the talking paper, and it may actually make sense to move that up on the agenda because it kind of follows some of this. And that is our, not just the LSBs, the PMB is, despite Brian's report, is really abysmally ignorant mm-hmm. about the archives. And I think that's why we have this problem about they're not appreciating that there needs to be a PMB archive committee, not a task force. So, you know, having a regular report would really help a great deal. Both for the PMB and for each of us to take to our LSB.
But you know what, you guys? He writes really good reports for every board meeting.
Yes.
And they're really good and they're really thorough, and usually when we're talking to you, we're just looking at that report and then thinking about what we could tell you particularly.
Right. I understand, Eddie, and I agree. But politically and tactically, it's not working in terms of their true comprehension of the you know what their role is supposed to be vis-a-vis the archive, and if it's something that we all go from our LSB, which Teresa's suggesting, so that there is, you know, that we have a PNB member, and I'm sorry, Donna, that Teresa's the only PNB member on the call tonight, because I think we have a serious problem.
Yeah.
Well, politically and tactically, as chair, as temporary chair, I'd like to say this. I've given this a lot of thought. I think I think that, you know, if we were right now, if we were a committee, we wouldn't be able to have this meeting because we wouldn't have quorum.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, if I remember, go ahead. I'm sorry, Teresa.
Let's just be happy that we have dedicated people on this call right now. And my point is this. I don't want to create more work for you, Brian, but the way I think that I can help you is that if without doing as much, you know, without standing on your head or doing gymnastics or whatever, if you can give me a little bit at every meeting that I could possibly throw in front of my LSB to keep educating them persistently, then your reports are excellent. And I thought your film was excellent because it was reinforcing visually mm-hmm. some of the things, because these board members are just overworked. And we need to constantly be reminded, members of this committee, we need to be able to talk constantly about what the archives is doing. And so if you wouldn't mind, if you can just pick and, you know, pick and choose what you would like me or, you know, some little thing that you would like us to be able to disseminate as best you can. Okay?
Okay. I'll think about that and figure out how they work. Because I think what you want to know is stuff that I already do. It's just a matter of making sure you know where to get it or me sending it to you in an abbreviated
form.
Yes, because I'm supposed to be taking minutes while I'm chairing here. And I didn't get anything there. I wrote down major phase, Ford Foundation continues, Grammy Foundation, and premium development for station. So hang it up. I need something in writing.
But it also gets, I mean, it's something that we all need for LSBs, including the copies of the reports that you give to the PMB, Brian, so that we really can be working on making them understand the importance and the mission of the archive.
So, you know, Brian, we can maybe, after the board meeting, after each board meeting, we could reformat some of the stuff.
Why can't I can post? I've never done this before, but post my board reports on the archive's website.
I think that would be great.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Because I think that really, like Teresa says, I think for this one particularly, I went into a lot more detail. Usually they restricted me to a 2-page report, and somebody has forgotten to restrict me, so I've now five and a half pages.
Uh-huh.
So it, you know, says everything that I really want to say without being restricted to a 2-page, you know, edit, which is really, really difficult. So I'm happy with this particular board report, and I really, because I wasn't going to be there in Houston, I was a little bit more verbose.
Yes.
Well, and maybe
so I think
in the future you can expand upon, you know, if they keep you to your 2 pages, you can expand upon it for the committee.
And it,
yes.
If you can, if you could give us maybe, let's say, 2 paragraphs description of things that you're working on in our monthly meetings, if you can do that, then I might be able to get a word in edgewise, or some of us here might be able to get in a word in edgewise and give a report of the task force to our LSBs and thus give them a little bit of additional information that they could absorb.
Okay, I get it. Thanks.
We can handle that. Can
all
we?
Right.
Yeah.
Teresa,
yeah.
It's 6:35, so
okay.
You might
have 5 more minutes. Okay. Is there anything additional for your report, Brian, that you wanted to tell us?
No, because I think that another agenda item is the December 6th fund drive, which was the only other thing that we're working on right at the
moment. Well, then quickly let's go to this task force committee report to the PNB. Did anybody have any corrections or additions to it, if you've seen it? Basically, I'm just going to try as best I can to get in a word in edgewise and give that report. And it's being printed. It will go to the national board members, and hopefully they can retain some of that.
Oh, well, does it have what you think you need? That was the thing. We've been kind of working with Pete about this for a while.
Well, the only thing, in my opinion, and others might chime in, is I think it's a little bit dry. If it doesn't have any jokes in there, like Brian is ordinarily able to inject, it's a little bit hard for them to retain it. But basically,
well, you can add your own jokes.
I'll try.
Well,
no, a lot of information.
I want to go back to a concern that I and several of us have had all along.
This is Sherna, right?
Right. I'm sorry. And that is this. I don't think that the issue of their having made us a task force should be taken that lightly, and I think that we need to emphasize that we have repeatedly gone to them saying that it should be a committee, and this relates to some of the concerns I raised in that talking paper, and that is that I do not think the PNB understands that it is the steward of a major treasure trove, historical treasure trove, and that they do not take it seriously.
Yeah.
You know, they're always very appreciative of Brian's excellent reports. They're appreciative of the archive, I think mainly because of the premiums it gives to the stations. But I do not think that they truly understand what their responsibility is. And having, because no PNB people, I'm sorry, not no, because they couldn't get a PNB member from each of the 5 stations to have cavalierly made this a task force, I think is an extremely serious issue. And Sapita did emphasize in there that we have asked them and we've been waiting, but it's not just a matter of their saying, yes, we'll change it back. I think it's a matter of the PNB saying that there has to be one PNB member from every signal area. So I think it's a very serious issue myself. And I would
let me tell you, I have personally talked to a lot of the PNB members and asked them to join us. One of them in particular is Rob Robinson, who's on the chairing the programming committee. Some people, I mean, I don't want to create enemies, but I'm on their case, and I don't know what to do.
Teresa, I'm not saying that. I know that you are on their case. I think it's a matter of getting the PNB to understand what the implications are, and for the PNB not for to fall on you or any single PNB member to you know, try and cajole the
others. This is what I'll do then. This is what I will do. Let me tell you this. I, in my opinion, the structure for the national committees is cumbersome. We have 15 people on the audit committee, and they have not been able to meet because they can't get quorum. We have 10 people on the finance committee. I think that's a lot easier to work with. It's one member from each PNB. I will send an email to all of the PNB people, and I will ask them to commit one person to be on our next telephone call from each area.
Great. That's a
start.
I think, reiterating that we have been waiting for however long since that motion was given to the governance committee and have not heard a thing. Now, maybe they haven't had a quorum and haven't met either. I think they have met.
All right. Well, it's almost time for our next item on the agenda, but, you know, this might be a time right now when we can discuss our next meeting. How about November 14th, which is the second Monday in November? Can you all look at your schedule? And
this is Sharna. I'll be out of the country and won't be able to be on a call till December.
Okay. So there's no date in November that's good for you?
No, forget me.
All right. Is there any other problems with Monday, November the 14th?
Same time, Teresa.
Same time.
Same procedure. Okay.
All right. And how about in December, second Monday is the 12th. How's that?
Wait a second. Let me get the November down.
That's fine with me, Teresa. Lamont speaking.
Okay, thank you,
fine
Lamont.
With me, Sharna.
December 12th. All right, so maybe we'll kind of try to go with second Mondays. 7 p.m. archive.
Now, is this a problem that Sapita has just this time, or is it going to be...
It's some sort of CAB meeting, and I'm not sure if it's going to be, you know, we will reconsider it if this is not good for Sapita. I do not know, but, okay. Is there any other comment about the task force committee report to the PNB? Okay. I encourage people to take that task force report to the PNB and somehow take parts of it and inject that into your conversations in your LSB meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And say, oh, you know, somebody has a resolution. Oh, by the way, the archives can help in this da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
So, feel free to nag me about the PNB reps on the next call. So now that we have a date. All right, so... Lamont, we are now going to go to the item on the agenda. Well, do we want to discuss the archives fundraiser before the balance, or do we want to go to item number 6?
Let's go to item number 6 because I know Sharna's going to be leaving at 7:30, right, Sharna?
Yeah, and we
may. And Addie needs to leave at 7, and I want to be sure that she's able to comment as well.
Okay. Well, moving right along, we're now going to discuss the balance between service and preservation / dissemination. Sharna, do you want to start this conversation?
Yeah, I hope that everyone got it and read it, and I'm really sorry that when we have things in paper that there's not a way for the listeners who may be listening to know what we're talking about. But for people who've been on the committee from the start, I think everyone on the call except Lamont has actually been on the committee from the time we were first formed. At our very, very first meeting, we had a long discussion about the issue of balance between service and the archive preservation function. And it was after we had that call, in fact, let me back up. At that time, we actually passed a motion, but it was a recommendation that the archive do a time study in order to be able to determine exactly how the time is split between these two functions.
Mm-hmm.
And increasingly, the stations are depending on the archive for premiums, which is terrific in one way, but in another way, really concerns me. In terms of this issues of the balance of time.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple of issues, and it goes back, you know, I am a historian, as is Lamont. I'm a social historian, which is why, Brian, I was asking you about, you know, what was included in those, because one of my own concerns as a social historian is what the premiums that the station wants usually are premiums that involve big names in the art world, in the intellectual world, in the cultural world. So obviously that's going to take priority the more the service function is emphasized. Now, after we had that discussion at that very first meeting, and on and off, we've kind of returned to it, and I raised it again last time, Brian did forward us the report from the Freedom Foundation director. I'm sorry, I forgot what his name
Claude.
Was. Brian.
Claude Marks.
It was a fantastic report. And he expressed this very same concern. So, and it goes to my point about the BNB not taking, I don't want to say not taking the archives seriously, that's not totally fair, but not understanding, really not understanding, that they are the stewards of this thing. And it is not just a relationship between the ED and the archive staff, particularly the director, Brian, that they have to be more involved. You know, there's not a kind of relationship like there is between the stations and a board. And that's what the PNB should be and is not doing. In my view, is not doing. So it goes back to some of those initial concerns. So out of all of that and the fact that we kept raising it, and several of us do have this concern, I think that there are a couple of different issues, and if I could just read the last three, my 3 points, and then the because, so that listeners, if anyone really listens, or it's in the archive, because the concern of the committee is a concern of governance oversight, and not merely administration of the archive. I recommend that the PRA committee discuss the possibility of taking the following steps. 1. Meet with the new ED together with the director of the PRA to discuss the relationship of the archive to the foundation and explore ways of implementing the study that we recommended. That's the time study. 2. Hold a discussion with the PNB at its January meeting to discuss our concerns, if we agree, re the issue of balancing the service and archive slash preservation function, and maybe March makes more sense. And 3, consider forwarding, and this is kind of long range, a recommendation at some point for the foundation to hire a full-time salaried archivist and or development officer. And I tried to make clear and said, no, this is not intended to supplant Brian by any means, who would continue to serve as administrative director. But I think that it has to do, again, with the issue of the main mission of the archive, which, with all the demands on the archive for its service function, is, I don't want to say getting supplanted, but I think that the balance is kind of out of whack right now, myself.
Well, this is the
good observation. Go ahead.
Sharon, I was going to ask you a question.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Is it your understanding that this new archivist, if hired, would be subservient to Brian? I mean, Brian is...
Yes. No, my notion would be, and this is, as I say, way down the road, is that the director of the archive, hopefully it would still be Brian, would oversee the total thing, because there is still the service and dissemination and all of that. But I think someone who, basically does the work that Addie is doing, and also someone who could be devoted to grant writing. I think the development director, if a national development director for the foundation, I think has a very different notion of development than the kind of grant writing, which is what archive development obviously is mainly going to be. So I think, but I mean, I see that as down the road. I think we first have to get there. Attention and raise this whole issue of the way in which, with increasing service demands, they're, as I say, I think the balance is out of whack, and because the stations do need, and it is an incredibly valuable service. And as I said earlier on our Radio Intifada show, we're going to use the 6-CD Saeed packet as a fundraiser. But that might mean that the foundation has to talk about hiring people that are getting a bigger volunteer base that deals with that service function. So it's not taking the time of people who should be working on the main mission.
Okay, this is Lamont again. I may be speaking to the choir on this, but just in a sentence or two. In my view, I think the most important function that the network has is to keep these archived. Because years, dozens of years, 50 years, 100 years from now, this is a part of that record for generations to come. And so I can't underemphasize that at all. Charlotte, insofar as this full-time archivist, you're seeing this for the first of next year sometime?
I think it's
B&B in January?
Yeah, I think it's way further down the road. I think our first task is to meet with the new ED and to somehow make the PNB understand that is I started the statement by saying that they are the stewards of this treasure trove.
Isn't it a pity that with the National Day of Fundraising for the Archives, as well as all of the premiums that we create, these two sources of funds do not make enough money to pay this position.
Right.
Right. Let me jump in real quick, and I want to be sure to allow Addie some time before she has to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But there is in the archives budget for the past 2 years, and including the FY06 budget, there has been an archivist / cataloger position. Just the money was never available. So it's always been planned, but the income has always been precarious with both the fund drive and the direct mail and then the loss of Democracy Now! So the intention has always been to get an archivist, but then after the Claude Marx report and David Subort and the other experts coming down and doing a real physical assessment, their assessment was even if we did get, you know, a $50,000 archivist, we don't have the space for them to do the kind of processing that they would be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did, we opted out of the archivist and decided on a cataloger, which is a professional, let's say, $40,000 position or $35,000 position, that could actually do some of the processing. And then once we did a building campaign and had the room for a real archivist, then the archivist would be the supervisor of the cataloger, who would both be under, you know, my position. So the intention's always there. It's just a matter of the real development of money and the sustainability of that income to support a permanent position. That's always, and Addie has been, luckily, you know, the angel that's been able to fill in since I've been there in 98 until now. Even in 98, there's always the attention of getting an archivist. We had one for about 6 months in 99, I think. Okay, so that's my update. Addie, do you want to jump in?
Well, Brian, can I just make one comment? It's Cherna.
Sure.
This is great, and I think what it does is absolutely confirm my feeling that this committee needs to make clear that this has to be done and that the foundation has to take that responsibility. It's not good enough for them to say, oh, you know, you're not making enough money in order to have that position. I mean, even starting with you know, the cataloger position.
Right.
And I think this is the role that the committee could play. But you didn't address the service preservation function and that whole issue, the balance.
Well, that's why I wanted Addie to jump in first, because on that, I do have a comment. I wanted to make sure that she had time to comment first, though.
So Brian, I don't know, you know, what's you or what's me here, but the thing is that we started the preservation, you know, this is all kind of ad hoc, and, you know, everything's kind of ad hoc and the best we could do. So we started the Preservation Access Project, you know, with some grant funds. What that does is it says, okay, that's you know, there's a certain amount of money, and the matching funds are really important to this. There's a certain amount of money, a certain amount of staff time, a certain amount of resources that are going to go to preservation access. And without that kind of, declaration that comes from having the grant funds, we couldn't really guarantee any people's time, any time from this staff, because everybody is incredibly busy constantly. So
how many staff do we have right now?
I'm sorry,
how many full-time employees?
There are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 full-time, 2 part-time.
And can you give us a sense of the breakdown in terms of...
There's an organizational chart that I just did for the new HR director, mm-hmm. and I'll be glad to send that to you. It was part of her board report, so I'll be glad to forward it.
But I mean, in terms of the proportion of their time on creating premiums, et cetera, and the preservation function.
Well, let me tell you a couple things about that. One thing is that... you know, when we put in the time, it just can't, okay, we can only do small projects because we can't take that much of people's time because there just isn't that much time and staff. It's just not there. So what we do is we kind of, you know, put a sacred circle around some of it, you know, on by the means of the grants. But we made the decision, which I really strongly believe in, that we shouldn't hire any really key positions on soft money, on grant money, because that, if we do that, then the organization as a whole isn't making the commitment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's fair to those kind of professionals, just as you guys know, the kind of professionals that archivists are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're kind of long-term, long-view people, and then they're not using it as a jumping-off point to something else, but also, you know, the organization as a whole has to be making this commitment. So so we just won't fund those positions through soft money. So the thing is, what you see in our grants, when we estimate some percent of time, you know, like we were telling you one-tenth this and that, that's pretty much what we try to do. A few years ago, I really tried to create a process because we can't figure this thing out about, it's never been known what part, things like how much does it actually cost to make a premium, if you really think about it.
There was a time when the budget was split between program services, institutional archives, administration, trying to figure it out.
And it was just such a burden.
They consolidated again.
It was a huge burden. It drove everybody crazy, so we couldn't really do it. That's the thing. It was just an enormous paperwork problem.
But as a result, we have the archives with no archivist or cataloger.
Oh, no, that's not as a result of that. The result that is because we kept putting in the proposals. Every budget, like for a full-time archivist and a full-time cataloger or whatever, you know, would fit in, but we couldn't get it. We just couldn't get it and couldn't get it. So in the end, we said, okay, what actually is the smartest thing to do? Well, it's to have this director who really understands the values of archives, okay, and really can also deal with the stations and deal with the organization. I mean, Brian is, you know, as we all know, an angel from heaven who, you know, happens to be here. So it's like, you know, if we could, you know, because of that, we've been able to hold it together and hold that value. Otherwise, that could be potentially have been gone.
Okay.
Can I say something about Eddie and Brian both?
Eddie,
I mean,
who's this? I'm you're speaking.
Pardon?
Is that Sherna?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay.
You both sound really defensive, and this is in no way an attack on you or the job you're doing. It's looking, you know, it's kind of trying to deal with the reality and figure out how this committee can work on these problems. Because everything you said, nothing that you said has convinced me that there is not a serious problem with regard to how much time is spent on service and the way in which the foundation looks at that.
No, you're absolutely right and accurate about that, and I really appreciate that. And also, you understand why I get defensive.
Yeah, no, I do. And I mean, you know, you're both doing an absolutely incredible job. I just, this is all about where we are, how to change it.
Right.
And it's not about blame
yeah.
at all.
Well,
right.
The way my mind is working, I keep thinking, if two out of the five employees are creating premiums,
mm-hmm.
then do we need to charge more for the premiums, or do we need to create the premiums with, you know, do we need to come up with a machine or whatever we need to do so we don't have to tie up two of those employees creating those premiums, get more for less with each employee so we can turn one of those employees into an archivist or cataloger,
Well, I don't think you can turn those same employees.
Well, not literally, but
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, but the position.
Uh-huh, yes.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that. No, go ahead, Eddie. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, one thing is I really invite you to look at that and analyze it, and try to figure it out, because this is a problem we've tried to figure out a lot of times. I mean, one thing is that we can't really charge. I mean, this could be wrong thinking. we don't feel that we could really charge for the premiums above what the market price is. And the market is below what it costs. And this is true all around,
But, well, what do you charge the station? Don't you just charge the stations $3 each?
$3 per CD. And frankly, when we tried to go up from $1 to $3, the stations went, really had a fit and said they weren't going to use our premiums. And then they didn't use the premiums. And it was another year before I could sort of work the stations back into it, that was not short of the affiliate stations taking the premiums first and making, the success of them, and Mark and I going on air at some of the stations and hosting our own shows and hosting the archives premiums to make sure that people understood how it worked, that it could work, with Sonali and Amy Goodman.
But what you're saying Brian, is that actually it costs us more to create those premiums than you can afford an employee to produce them.
That's true.
But that's a little bit too simple, because in the development of the premiums, we're actually doing some of the preservation work.
Right.
Everything is sort of layered, and that's why it's so hard to break it apart, because one function serves parts of the others.
We're also doing our PR work and our development work, because we're learning what's there, and we're getting enough handle over whatever material it was we were just dealing with to be able to communicate with the people who'd be interested.
Okay.
And I have to say that, I agree with most everything Sherna said. I mean, she has the sentiment that Addie and I have been sort of arguing to nobody about for years. I mean, it's really great that we have you people that are sort of understanding it. It's just a matter of how do we work the work the machine that is Pacifica.
All right.
Because what we're essentially saying is you got to give us more money so that we can do the real work that we're doing.